Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I want to say a big thank you to everyone. We had like 50 people come out last night and help us represent in the Christmas parade. We gave out not just candy, but we gave out, I think, around 500 invitations to the candlelight service. So thank you just letting our community know that God loves them and there's a church that loves them too. We want to talk this morning. This is week two of our series called Come Home for Christmas. Last week we talked about how you can come home to God's redemption, but no matter how far away from God, you can always come home. But today I want to talk to you about coming home another way. I want to talk to you about coming home to God's care. How many of you know that God cares for you? Did you know that? God cares for you. He really does. Matter of fact, I want to take just a moment and ask you to pray with me because we heard this morning of a tragic accident last night. Where someone lost their life, and someone who actually kind of grew up, I heard, worshiping in our church. I know that family. They need the care of God this morning we're preaching about, and we're talking about. Many of you have known that care this morning, and so we want to pray for this family. Would you pray with me right now? We're not going to mention names because we don't know how public this information is, but we want to just hold them up right now. Father, we thank you that you're the God who loves us and the God that cares for us. And even in moments when we don't understand and we don't have answers, when all we have are questions, Lord, you still are there to help us and to comfort us in a way that no one else can help us and no one else can comfort us. Lord, in situations where even the best words on earth fall short, God, you can speak to our heart and give us that peace that passes understanding. We can know the care of God. And I pray this family today that is suffering loss would know the care of God. That both parents involved and kids involved, everyone who calls her friend and family would know the care of their Heavenly Father today. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody say amen. How many would just admit that that sometimes Christmas is not just the happiest time of the year, but Christmas can also be the most hurtful time of the year. When you raise your hand and say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. There's been more than one Christmas where when everyone else was opening presents and celebrating and smiling on the outside, where I was actually hurting on the inside and I needed the care of God. Have you ever been there? Not everyone who is who's putting on a bright and shiny face this Christmas is really feeling joy on the inside. Sometimes we feel a lot of hurt on the inside. And if that's you, I want to challenge you to come home to God's care this morning because God cares for you. I want to say that again. God cares for you. I want to say that one more time. God cares for you. Even when it seems like no one else cares, even when people like me do a really bad job, as much as we want to do a good job, when we do a bad job of communicating God's care, even in those moments, God cares for you. Matter of fact, Christmas is a story about how much God cares for us. Christmas is the event that proves how much God cares for us. For God so loved the world, John 3 says, that he gave his only begotten son so that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's an expression of God's care for you and for me. And Matthew chapter 2, we get into the Christmas story a little bit more this morning. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. We talked about that scripture last week. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, Father, we do pray over this word today, which needs no anointing because it's already been God-breathed. It's already been spoken by you, spoken to the hearts of men who were faithful to write it down. And, Lord, we just read it again. But we do ask for the anointing, the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to preach what you want said this morning. And, Lord, also to help us hear what you want us to hear today. So God, help us today and give us the boldness and courage to respond how you want us to respond and to receive what you want us to receive. And we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everyone responds to the word of God differently. Have you noticed that some people have more faith than you do? No? You have the most faith of all? I thought so. Mary received the word of God a little bit quicker than Joseph did. Mary had an encounter with an angel, and her response was, "Be it unto me as you've said, Lord." She took it in. She didn't understand it, but she said, "Yeah, I'm all in. Sign me up, Lord. I'll do it." But Joseph heard the same information from Mary that we just read. Mary said, "Listen, an angel showed up, and now I'm pregnant, and you're going to be the earthly father, but it's actually the Son of God. He's going to be the Messiah for our people." And Joseph didn't believe it. Matter of fact, Joseph, instead of believing, devised a plan how to not punish Mary, but to separate himself quietly, not to cause a stir. And with that going on, God did something. He sent another angel to Joseph to show Joseph that, number one, what Mary said is true. But number two, he wanted to let Joseph know the same care and concern about his life, about what he's doing in Mary's life and through their marriage. And God sends an angel. Today we're going to look at something maybe you've never looked at before in the Christmas story, or maybe you have. Today we're going to look at the care that God provides through our lives, specifically in the Christmas story, the care that God provides through his agents that we call angels. You know, you can't read the Christmas story very much at all without seeing an increased activity of angels among God's people, how angels are on assignment, how angels are working and moving and helping and speaking and communicating and drawing people to the story and to what God wants to do. And this activity is not just something that happened the first Christmas season. This may be news to you, but there's actually angelic activity today. It's very possible that there's been angelic activity. There's been the operation of angels in your life and around your life, your whole life, that maybe you never even recognized before. And today I'm gonna draw attention to that activity, not for the benefit of drawing attention to angels per se. As much as everything I say about angels today is trying to draw attention to this one thing, it's drawing attention to God's care for you. That God loves you and cares for you so much, he will even involve angels if necessary to accomplish his purpose and his help and his care in your life. As a matter of fact, you can't even really accurately know all there is to God until you agree or until you accept this fact that he is the God that has multitudes of angels on display. As a matter of fact, there's over 200 and 50 times in the Word of God where the name of God that is described, the way people call upon God, the God that we serve, the way they call upon and they pray to him, they would pray to him using this term. They would say, "The God of angel armies." Do you know the God that you serve has an army of angels at his disposal? A lot of times when you think of angels, you may think the choir of angels singing. But this description, the God of angel armies is a militant term, right? It's an army of warriors. It's an army that is able to do great exploits for God. We serve the God of angel armies. We serve the God that has multitudes of messengers and agents that he can send out at any moment to do his deeds and do his business and to help and change your life. Matter of fact, the next time you find yourself in need and you're praying to God, I would challenge you to pray this way: "Lord, I'm calling on you, the one that has millions of angels Like you can dispatch in any moment to my life. Part of knowing who God is knowing that he has an angelic army numbering thousands upon thousands. Revelation even says 10,000 upon 10,000 that are standing by to act at his command. And there's a fixation of angels, actually angels and demons, which, you know, an angel, a demon is simply a fallen angel, right? You know that? Scripture tells us that through history, that about a third of the angels fell away, that God kicked them out of heaven, and those fallen angels are what we call demons. But do you know how many fallen angels there are? About a third of them is who God kicked out, which means there's two-thirds of them that were still alive and well and on dispatch for God. So let me just bring up the point this morning. There are more that are for you than there are against you this morning. The enemy would like to describe that there's demonic activity all around your life. But I want to tell you that there are more angels doing activity around your life than any other power on earth. And there are angels on assignment in your life today. I know I'm breaking in some new ground for some of you this morning, so I want to just give you a few facts before I get into the message part today. Depending on which version of the Bible, which part of the Bible you're looking at, there's actually about 300 times where angels are referred to in the Word of God, 116 in the Old Testament, about 175 in the New Testament. A few angel facts for you this morning is, number one, they're created beings. They're created by God. Which also brings up another point. The devil is not equal to God. If you grew up watching cartoons like I did, you may have got your theology from Looney Tunes. Or you got God on one side of your shoulder speaking to you, and you got the devil on the other side of the and they sound like equal voices and equal power. Can I tell you, they are not equal voices and they are not equal powers. There is such thing as God the created and the created beings. And friends, we are worshiping God the creator this morning. Amen? He is the creator. He's above all angels, both good and bad. Secondly, the word reminds us, if you want to read the last chapter of your Bible, as angels are not to be worshipped. So we're not bringing attention to angels this morning to try to get you to become an angel worshiper or have this new fixation upon them. And then the third fact I'll give you is that they're numerous, or see, they're numerous this morning. Matthew 18 says, to take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven they're angels, plural. Their angels do always behold their face of my Father which is in heaven. So there's a theology here that every one of us, you ever heard the concept of a guardian angel? That's where you get that. It's from the words of Jesus. I had an aunt that used to tell me, she said, Greg, you know, every time you break the speed limit, your guardian angel steps out. I can't really find that in the Bible, but I'm just telling you, there's numerous. Revelation chapter 5 says that there's a multitude numbering thousands upon 10,000s. And you may be wondering, well, Pastor, that's great. Greg, that's wonderful. How do they display God's care and how do they help us today? And what part do they play in the kingdom of God today? I want to give you a few answers to that question this morning. Number one, angels continue to communicate God's heart and his instructions for us today. In chapter 20, it says, after he, meaning Joseph, considered what Mary had said to him, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home. God showed up in Joseph's life as a dream. We know in a few moments later, we're going to see that God showed up in Joseph's life again as an angel. We know that angels are a way that God uses to communicate his heart and his instructions for us. And I don't know about you, but there are often, not once or twice, there's many times in my life where I need the help of God. Amen? I don't just need his help to change a situation. I need God's help to tell me what to do in a situation. What to do about life. What to do about ministry. What to do about my family. Those are not answers that I always find in a book or always find through people. Sometimes I need the help of God. A lot of times I need the help of God. An angel received, or Joseph received help because an angel showed up and helped communicate to him the heart of God. And I will show up, I will back this up and say this: an angel of God will always confirm God's word, never go against God's word. Matter of fact, the word of God tells us in Galatians, the apostle Paul writes that even if an angel should appear and tell you a different gospel than what we present, cast them out and have nothing to do with them. So an angel of the Lord always confirms God's instructions, does not give advice or words in contrary to us. And I want to tell you today, God still communicates to us today. And knowing that God still communicates to us today lets us know that I've got to make room in my life to understand one of these ways that God may show up. His primary way of showing up in our lives, speaking our lives, is always the word of God. But I've always got to make room to understand he may speak to me through one of his agents. In Genesis chapter 18, we see this happening for Abraham. He looked up and he saw three men standing by. And when he saw them, he ran from his tent to help them and asked them to sit and bow down. And God began to talk with him. And we believe, it's my philosophy, it's my conviction, this is probably God the Father with two angels. Because if you read on down, they left Abraham's presence and they went down to where Lot was camping out. This is found in Genesis chapter 19. They went down to where Lot was hanging out in Sodom. And the Bible says that the Lord turned back, but the two angels entered the city. And Lot did not recognize them as angels. So that just reminds me that not everyone that has an encounter with an angel recognizes that encounter in the moment. Abraham, who's known as the father of faith, didn't recognize these gentlemen as being angels of God. Lot didn't recognize these gentlemen. And it's very possible that you and I may have or could have in the future an encounter with an angel from God and never even know it. Pastor, I don't believe that. Then whatever you do, do not read Hebrews chapter 13. Because it says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. See, God's communicating to his people today, primarily through his word, but let this be a lesson to us. That we got to understand that God will speak through us through any means necessary, even if it involves the help of an angel. And the lesson today is not to become an expert at recognizing angels as much as it is to become an expert at recognizing the voice of God and making room to realize he may speak to us through ways that we never even imagined. Secondly, today, angels are always working to accomplish God's purpose in our life. And he's working with us. Would you say that phrase with me? With us. Angels are always working with us. When you work for God, you never work alone. I want to say that again. When you work for God, you never work alone. When you go somewhere for God, whether it's down the street or around the planet, you never go there alone. There are always angels on assignment who are going with you and before you and around you. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. And the angels began to give the instructions to the shepherds on where to find Jesus and where to find Mary and Joseph, who were in a faraway place trying to do the work of God alone. But angels came on assignment and spoke to these shepherds and sent, if you will, reinforcements to come and be with Mary and Joseph and celebrate this life-changing moment with them. An example, it's an example that God is working with us. Angels are working with us. There may be times when you feel outnumbered, but you need to remember that the God of angel armies is with me. The God of angel armies are with you this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 2, this is the story of Elisha, who looked like he was alone. It was just him and one servant hiding out. And the servant woke up and he looked out the city walls of where they were staying, and he panicked because what he saw was an army The army of his enemy had surrounded him. And he came back and he told Elisha, basically, we're doomed. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to go. There's no one we can call on. It's over for us. And without panicking, Elisha prayed this one prayer. He said, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Listen to the scripture. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I'm just praying today, God, would you open our eyes today and let us see the help that is all around us every single day of our life today. God cares about you, and he's not leaving you, and he's not forsaking you. He's the God of angel armies who'll provide a whole army around you if that's what's necessary today. Amen? He's the God who cares for you. Today you may feel like Elisha's servant. You may feel outnumbered, outgunned, but I pray that today God will open your eyes and see that there are more that are with you than those that are with them. No matter what them is, whether them is a grief you're going through this season, whether them is a diagnosis from the doctor, whether them is a financial impossibility, we serve a God who is angel. He's the God of angel armies, and we're never outnumbered. As a kid, I was taught the story in children's church about Daniel and the lion's den. It's one of the stories that my daughter, who's 4 years old, who can already tell it just as good as I can from Scripture, about how Daniel prayed and was put in the lion's den. And many times we just say, well, God kept him through the night and he survived. But if you look to read the book of Daniel, when the king showed up the next day and asked Daniel, are you still alive? Daniel's reply was actually this: my God has sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. If you're in a pit this morning, can I tell you, God can still send his angel and shut the mouth of every devouring spirit that's around you or your family this morning. He's the God of angel armies. The Apostle Paul was on a ship as a prisoner, having already been faithful to God to say, let's not go this way, let's not go this time of year, this will be treacherous to us. But he didn't have any power, and so against his will, against his advice, he was put on this ship anyway. And the ship begins to be buffeted by the sea, begins to be in danger of going down. And when everyone else is panicking, his response was this: my God sent an angel to me. This very night, an angel of the God who I belong to and who I serve stood before me. I just pray this Christmas season you'll come home to the reality that God is working for you, and he will send others to work with you and on your behalf. Even at times you may not see them. Sometimes you may, but many times you will not see them, but they are still presently working on your behalf. Pastor, how do you know that? Because God cares for you. And he's the God of angel armies this morning. Thirdly, this morning, they don't just work with us, but third, this morning, we learn that angels minister strength to us along life's journey. Angels provide for us. They provide strength for us. We started off this morning reading about the birth of Jesus and how angels showed up and drew the shepherds near them so they could be there and help minister to Mary and Joseph and witness the account of the birth of Christ. And if you're reading the New Testament, the activity of angels sort of become dormant a little while there. You don't read a whole lot about it for a few verses until you get to after the baptism of Jesus. Jesus begins to be led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And after Jesus goes days and days without eating and days of being tempted by the devil, when he refutes the enemy's advances on his life by quoting scripture to him, the Bible says this phrase, and then the angels came and ministered to him. Matter of fact, one of the definitions of angels, according to the Word of God, is simply this: they are ministering spirits that take care of those who are called into salvation. An And angels will show up in your life and minister to you along your journey as well. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you're one of those that Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14 speaks about, that angels are ministering spirits, that you can expect God to minister to you along your journey. And some of the ways he may minister to you is by using angels in your life. You can't predict their arrival. You can't demand they show up. You can't demand that you're going to know when they show up or when they leave. But this God we serve is dependable, and he will show up in your life no matter what it takes. There's an illustration of a possible angelic intervention in a missionary's life. I read about a missionary lady. Actually, she was a pastor's wife. Her husband did a lot of pastoring and missionary work, and their cupboards were bare. They needed not only food for their own house, they needed food for a ministry event coming up, and she began to pray. And she actually made a pretty long list in her prayer list that I won't read to you today, but she said, "Lord, I need this, I need that." She was very specific in praying exactly what she needed. As soon as she got done with the prayer, a knock was on her door. She opened the door. There was a young man that had several bags of groceries. And his only words to her was this: "Ma'am, here's exactly what you asked for." They lived in a two-story apartment building, so she took the groceries, put them on the counter. She turned around. Her husband came to the room. She told her husband exactly what happened. So they went to the window to look down at the only entrance to their building, and they waited for the young man to walk out so maybe they could know who he was and recognize him and thank him later. But they watched and watched, and he never came out. He just disappeared. Is that an angel? I don't know. But I know this: God will do whatever it takes to keep his word to you. He cares for you. Billy Graham says, "As an evangelist, I've often felt too far spent to minister from the pulpit to men and women who have filled stadiums to hear a message from the Lord. Yet again and again, my weakness has vanished and my strength has been renewed. I've been filled with God's power, not only in my soul, but physically. And on many occasions, God has become especially real. And he has sent unseen angelic visitors to touch my body and to let me be his messenger for heaven, speaking as a dying man to dying men. I've discovered really quick, if you're going to do anything for God, you need more than your own help. And God will send his help." Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, we read where he was falling asleep under a broom tree, and an angel of the Lord woke him up and said, "Listen, you got to eat, because this journey is too hard for you." And he provided supernatural food for Elijah. Listen, God can provide supernatural food for you as well. Gideon was not a mighty warrior at all. Matter of fact, he was cowering down, trying to stay out of sight, when someone who didn't look like an angel apparently showed up and began to talk to Gideon and even called him a mighty warrior before Gideon ever considered himself a mighty warrior. If you'll read the word of God, it takes Gideon about 19 different verses down of activity and talking to this guy before he ever realizes that this is a messenger from God. Listen, God will minister to you along your journey too. If you're in a weak place this morning, if you're in a stressed place this morning, I implore you to call on the God who cares for you. He'll give you strength for his journey. I can't tell you how. I can't tell you when. I can't tell you in what form he's going to show up. But he's the God of angel armies, and he cares for you. Chris Tomlin sang a song on the radio several years ago that's been going through my mind these last weeks. It's been getting ready for this message. It says, "I know who stands before me, and I know who stands behind me. He's the God of angel armies, and he's always by my side." He's by your side too this morning. Which brings me to my last point today, is angels are used also to protect us. In Matthew chapter 2, it says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up. Take this child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he took him, the child, and the mother up to Egypt. The angels helped protect Joseph. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the one that brought up this idea that each of us have angels assigned to us as well. He may protect you. Pastor, I don't believe that. Psalms 91 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. And they'll bear you up in their hands lest you strike your feet against a stone." Dr. Kenneth Gangle gives an account which is not unique. He speaks about a veteran missionary who was living on a compound in northern Africa during a riot by local tribes. And I'll read this to you. It says, "She hid in a closet and prayed as warriors advanced along a dusty road towards their houses where they were living." The intruders, that was them, where they lived. "Amazingly, she never heard them. No one ever entered her building, and there was no evidence of any turmoil. My friend later learned that the warriors who intended to kill everyone at the missionary compound burned it to the ground, instead retreated when they found the compound guarded by tall warriors dressed in white and carrying large swords." I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot to me like Psalms chapter 34 that says the Lord encamps around those who fear them, who fear him, and delivers them. The Reverend John G. Patton, a pioneer to the New Hebrides Islands, told a story of God's protective care of angels in his life. One night, he and his wife were sleeping, and he'd heard word that the natives were going to come and attack he and his missionary compound where they were staying. So they began to pray. And they prayed and prayed until they just couldn't pray anymore. And they finally went to sleep. They woke up the next morning and nothing of their house or home was touched at all. They thank God for it. A year later, the chief of that tribe became a follower of Jesus. And John Patton began to have a conversation relationship with him. And after years, when he was getting ready to leave the field, he asked this chief, who became a follower of Jesus, about that night. He said, "Chief, before I leave, I've got to know about something. There was a night when you guys had us surrounded. You were beating the drums that spoke of your intention to kill us and eradicate us from this place. And yet we feared for our lives and you never attacked us. You've got to tell me what kept you from killing us." And he said, "Well, first you've got to tell me, who were those people that were with you?" John Patton said, "There was no one with us, just my wife and I." And that warrior chief who came to know Jesus said, "Sir, I must argue with you, because we came to kill you. But when we came to your house, there was a numerous army of tall men dressed in white with swords drawn that we trembled in fear and ran for our lives because they had you surrounded." He is the God of angel armies, and he cares for you this morning. He cares for you. And you may think, well, God only does that for missionaries. God only does that for spiritual people like Billy Graham. No, God cares for you. God cares for you. Too many of you in this room are convinced that you're living life alone, that there's no one there to help you. But I want to tell you, God cares for you today. Megan, if you want to come. At this point in the message, you may be thinking, well, Pastor, that's sort of interesting, but what? What does that mean today? It means these few things I want to give to you before we pray. It means that God still speaks to us today. God wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak to you so bad that in the case of Mary and Joseph, he'll even use an angel if that's what it takes to get his plan to your heart. It reminds us that God provides for us today. Someone told me years ago that wherever God gives you vision, he always gives you provision. God will do whatever it takes to see those who are trusting him are cared for by them because he cares for you. And he'll even use an angel if necessary. It reminds us that God is working with us, and when we work for him, we never work alone. You know, the mission of our church starts with these words: people matter to God. I want to ask you to say that phrase with me this morning. People matter to God. Let's say it again. People matter to God. Let's say it one more time. People matter to God. How many believe that's true? Do you know what that means? That means that you matter to God too. You matter to God. Maybe we need to say this out loud this morning. I matter to God. Let's say that together. I matter to God. I matter to God. God loves you so much that he is the God of angel armies, and he'll release every resource to take care of you. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Close your eyes just out of respect for the person around you so they can respond without fear of what people are going to think and what they're going to say. I've not spent the last few minutes trying to awaken you to the work of angels just so you can know some sort of factoid or some story you didn't know before. I told you about their activity this morning because I want to awaken you to God's care for your life. Our theme this year is Come Home for Christmas. I want to challenge you this morning to come home to God's care. Some of you have been trying to go through life believing that no one cares, no one understands, no one can help. But the God of angel army cares for you, and he can help when no one else can. He can do what no one else can do. He can deliver what no one else can deliver. He can provide for you what no one else can provide for you. And that's not just tangible help, financial help. That is also emotional help. He can deliver to you healing and peace that no one else can deliver to you this morning. He's the God of angel armies. He can deliver all of it to you this morning. And in this private moment, you say, Pastor, I need to know the care of God this Christmas season. I need to come home to God's care because this season for me is not one that makes me want to shout and smile the whole time. This is a season of heartbreak for me a lot of times. I want you to know God cares for you. God cares for you. And so many people, they try to substitute God's care. They try to replace it with something else. But listen, there's something better than every other replacement on planet Earth: God's care. He said, Pastor, this is a hard season for me, and I need to know God's care. Which just was a hand real quick. Since me, Pastor, pray for me. I need to know God's care this season. Amen. 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 This morning, I want to pray for you. If you lifted your hand, Father, I'm thankful that today you love us and you care for us. Lord, I'm thankful that you so loved us that you gave Jesus to come and live a sinless life and die a sacrificial death. And then on the third day, you rose again so that we could know life and life to the full. Life that includes our sins forgiven, our past eradicated, and our future secure. But I pray this morning that all of us, if there's a person in the room today that has not chosen to make you their personal Lord and Savior, to take hold of the greatest gift of the planet, that's right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, I pray we'll take hold of that this morning. And I pray for every person who lifted their hands today that they just need to know the care of God this season. I pray that they'll come to know your care this morning. I pray that even now you'll begin to lift them above their circumstances. Lord, some of them feel surrounded by so many different things, but I pray that they'll just know that no matter what is surrounding them, that there is a greater army surrounding them. And it's the army of God that represents the care of God. That today you'll lift them above every heartbreaking situation. Lord, you'll rescue them from every situation that seems to be suffering from defeat. You'll rescue them from every situation that is best described as broken and hurt. Instead, you'll give them healing and help. Would you just come down even now as we sing this song? If you're not coming for prayer, let's worship together tonight, this morning.
And you who hold the stars, who call them each thy name, will surely keep your promise to me that I will rise in your victory.
Let's get ready to close this way. I've already asked you to say these words again, but I want to ask you to say this prayer with me all across this room. Dear Jesus, I know that you care for me. Everything that touches me is seen by you. So I choose today to trust you with it all. I trust you with the parts I can control, parts I can't control. Because, Lord, you can handle it all better than me. You're stronger than me. You're the God of angel armies. And you'll move on my behalf if I'll trust you. So I'm trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless. Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.